Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Bailout Nation and Black Monday Jr. This, I guess, is in honor of that memorable historic day back in October of 1987 when the markets plummeted by some 20-odd percentage points. Well, today, across the board, Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Russell 2000, the small cap index, declined by 12, 13, and 14 percentage points. On the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it was the largest single-day point drop in market history. But of course, the percentage drop still resides with October of 1987. That's why we are calling this Black Monday Jr. And don't forget, it was only, a week or so ago when we pretty much had another Black Monday Jr. But this one's even bigger. This one is even bigger. And of course, this is off the heels of the Federal Reserve having their second emergency meeting and its second emergency rate cut in as little as 2 weeks. Remember, I had to do that week ahead segment yesterday. Central banks panic because that's exactly what they are doing. They're panicking all over the world. No surprise to us here at the Capital News. We've been talking about this for over a year now since this podcast has been online. Don't have a crystal ball. Wish I could ring a bell for you guys to let you know exactly when it was going to happen. Wish I could ring a bell for myself to know exactly when it was going to happen, and we could all walk away millionaires and not have to worry about this type of stuff. But unfortunately, I do not have that crystal ball, can't ring that magical bell. But nevertheless, we can look at the data. We can look under the hood. We can look past the headlines. We can look past the BS. And we can actually conduct some fundamental analysis on the economic data that is presented before us and the financial data that is presented before us. And we can connect the dots. It's not that difficult, folks. It's not that difficult. You don't believe me? Like I always say, don't believe me. Don't take my word for this stuff. Go look it up for yourself. And I tell you where you can look it up. Go conduct your own analysis. You don't need to be an economist to understand the trends and what's going on the world over. But if you need a little bit of assistance, that's what we're here for at the Capital News, to provide that color, that flavor, that extra analysis, to get your wheels turning, to start thinking about these things, because it's easy just to open a newspaper or to turn on the mainstream media or the financial news and listen, buy, 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 buy the dips, don't worry about a thing, everything's great, the greatest economy ever, good jobs, jobs, jobs number, I don't have to worry about a thing, everything's fine, they tell me everything's fine. That pretty woman, that handsome guy on TV, they tell me everything's fine. I don't got to worry about anything. Did they tell you about this? Did they tell you this was even a possibility? No. Of course they didn't. They're not in the business of helping you. They're in the business of selling advertising. That's what they're in the business of. They're in the business of reading that teleprompter. How many times do I have to tell this audience? You're getting paid big money to read a teleprompter. You're going to read whatever they put on that thing. It's that simple. It's all it is. It's not about the truth. It's about the hype. It's about the marketing. It's about getting everybody sucked in. Just buy, 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 and don't worry about it. Well, what happens if you're close to retirement? You're probably concerned right now. You're probably crossing your fingers, saying your prayers, hoping somehow this thing bounces back. You know what? I feel for you. I really do. But this time, I don't think there's going to be any type of magic bullet like there was at the end of 2018, the beginning of 2019, with the jawboning from the Federal Reserve, the reversal of balance sheet contraction to expansion from rate hikes to rate cuts, gave some juice to it. The BS trade headlines, we were jerked around for over a year on that. The markets bit it up. They took it. They loved it. But that's when you had an administration that could tout and talk about their negotiating acumen. Now you have the same administration. They can't BS science, folks. They can't BS science, and the markets know it. Furthermore, This COVID-19 is a demand and supply shock, as we have discussed here many times over. And this is not going to be quickly glossed over. Headlines are not just going to wipe this away. COVID-19 was the pin that pricked one of the largest bubbles ever in the history of mankind. Maybe the biggest, I don't know. But it's definitely one of the biggest because it's in every facet of the economy, barring a couple commodities here or there or some other assets. But it's typically the everything bubble. There is no real place for shelter, unfortunately. You got to be diversified because we are in completely uncharted territory. The amount of volatility that we are witnessing is off the Richter scale. It's crazy. Remember last year I was talking about my volatility model and how it was holding up through a lot of the year. And then at the last quarter of 2019, that was it. It was completely shot. And I admitted to this audience as much, that my volatility model became completely shot because of what the Federal Reserve did in the repo markets, cutting interest rates, doing everything within their power to keep volatility at bay, to allow a monster of a melt-up rally that started basically in September of last year and continued into February of this year, and now we're witnessing the massive sell-off, over 20%, 30%, depending on the index. And remember, if you're looking globally, years and years and years worth of stock market gains have been wiped out in the course of 3-4 weeks. It's insane. There's no other word for it. It is insane, but it's not surprising. Maybe the speed in which it happened is surprising, like we discussed yesterday. But the fact that they've gotten wiped out is not surprising to me, not in the least. When we have been embarking on an asinine, fraudulent, corrupt, stupid economic policy for over a decade with money printing, thinking that somehow this is free market capitalism, we're printing money, that's capital. No, it isn't. Thinking somehow that the printing press was going to cure every ill, everything that concerned us, was ridiculous. And now we're finding that out. And so for those of you who are concerned because you're close to retirement and you just maybe probably saw 20-30% of your 401k and any other retirement account you have wiped out, basically, 20-30%, unless you were smart enough to pull the trigger somewhere else, you're wondering, what are they going to do? Well, the Federal Reserve cut an additional 50 basis points 2 weeks ago in emergency meeting, right? What happened subsequently? Markets sold off drastically. Then, this week, they were scheduled to have their scheduled FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, meeting. Two-day meeting, this Tuesday, this Wednesday, with their decision announced following the conclusion of their meeting on Wednesday. Didn't happen. They had an emergency meeting in lieu of that scheduled meeting this weekend. And they cut interest rates, not by 50 basis points, but by 100 basis points yesterday. Announced quantitative easing of $700 billion with no clear path as to how that's going to be scheduled. It's at their discretion. $100 billion, $150, $200 billion this month, $300 billion, whatever they want. Whatever they want. No checks and balances, not held accountable, nothing, zip, nada. The discount window. Yeah, everybody and their mother can come to the discount window. All these banks, yeah, come on up. Come on up. And now there's news breaking on Bloomberg that some of the largest banks are going to be going to the discount window to signal to the smaller and mid-sized banks, it's okay if you come to do it too. Even though typically speaking, that's supposed to be a secret, if you will, a secret window that you go to because you don't want to spook the markets that you're tapping the Fed's discount window. If you go there, something must be wrong. Now, it's perfectly fine. You're going bankrupt. Not a problem. So are we. Come on, guys. Let's go. It's in your face. This is what they're doing. And they're getting bailed out. The loans are extended. It's worth nothing. 0.25%. Then the reserve requirements. You don't even have to hold cash anymore. The banks don't even have to hold cash in reserve. Just get this money and lend it out. There is no control. There is no order. And for what? To get back to what? 2.2% growth? Are you kidding me? And that's questionable as it is. Because you have to take into consideration what's the real inflation rate. And there's no way in God's green earth that the inflation figure that the federal government of the United States gives to us is accurate. It's far higher than what they claim officially, and every one of you knows it. Because every one of you lives in the real world and knows what things cost year to year, day to day. You know it. You feel it. And it ain't 2%. It's much higher than that. And despite all of the stimulative efforts and actions undertaken by the Trump administration and Congress, at least while he had the Republicans in charge of both chambers of the Congress, tax cuts, deregulations, which continue one after the next, all these things, trillion-dollar deficits, massive government spending, all for naught. All for naught, because it's been completely wiped out. And all we get for it is 2% GDP growth. And you can bet your rear end we're going to hit a technical recession here, which is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. Again, we've been talking about this for months. Cass Freight Index, that report's going to be coming out here soon. If it hasn't already, I have not checked today. But that's usually out in the middle of the month to discuss the previous month's activity. And we know that's just, you know, blown to pieces, blown to smithereens. We know this, but it's going to be interesting to see what the data actually looks like from the Cass Freight Index, which has been predicting negative quarterly GDP growth since the third quarter of last year. Didn't see it in the third quarter, didn't even see it in the fourth quarter. Well, don't be surprised if we see it in the first quarter of this year and the second, because this COVID-19 is far from over in the effects thereof. In fact, this is just the tip of the iceberg, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't even hit the iceberg yet, but we are. We're going to, unfortunately. And we are because we have built our economy on a foundation of sand. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If the economy was as strong as the Trump administration would have you believe, if the economy was as strong as the Federal Reserve Chairman would have you believe, and so many other pundits, then why do we need such emergency measures? Why do we need trillion-dollar bailouts of the financial system? Why do we need the Federal Reserve basically serving as the market? Not somebody to assist the market, but the market when it comes to overnight lending in the repo markets. To the tunes now of hundreds of billions of dollars on a daily basis. Remember, that was supposed to be temporary back in September. But what's continuing, and there's no end in sight. Government calling for fiscal stimulus. More billions and billions of dollars. I think Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in the Senate, is calling for an additional $750 billion in fiscal stimulus to fight off the coronavirus. $750 billion. We already have a $1 trillion deficit, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be larger than $1 trillion. So where's this money coming from? How is this stimulus? Wouldn't you treat stimulus as, okay, look here. I'm an Olympic sprinter, right? 100 meter dash. I'm fantastic. But I want to do it even better. So I'm going to shoot up. And now I'm even faster. That's stimulus, right? That's how you would look at it. You're already here. You're already one of the best. Now you take it up another level. This isn't stimulus. We're in a hole. You're just trying to get back to where you were. To me, that's not stimulus. To me, that's a waste of resources because it's not free. This is going to be financed through debt with interest attached to it. And we all know what debt is. This audience does because I make sure of it. But if you listen to the financial mainstream media, you listen to one idiot politician after the next, they have no idea what debt is. They don't understand what it is fundamentally. And it's very simple. Debt is pulling future production and consumption forward to today. So you are basically stealing future production, future consumption, to gratify and satiate people today. Well, how much debt do we have out there, ladies and gentlemen? Tens, hundreds of trillions of dollars out there, wafting around. Where's it going? How much of the future do you think has been stolen? Why do you think I'm so upset when it comes to a lot of this blame now somehow being put on generations that have nothing to do with it. My generation, the millennial generation, has nothing to do with this. We didn't vote for these idiots. We didn't vote for these policies that have been in place longer than we've been alive. It's not our responsibility to do that, to pay for these mistakes. It's not. It's the generations who have perpetuated them to pay for it. But even in that, my generation, younger generations, and generations yet to be are still going to have to pay the consequences of years of terrible policy from a fiscal standpoint and from a monetary standpoint. And what are these idiots trying to do? More of the same, because that's all they know. It's like a carpenter who only has a hammer. He's got one tool, it's all he knows how to use, and that's what he's going to use. It's unbelievable. It's a disgrace. It's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. It's shameful, and it's disgusting, and it's disturbing. There's not enough adjectives to describe it, and I'm keeping this PG for this audience. I mean, I'm fuming with what's going on because the bailouts are coming. The airlines are already at the trough of mommy and daddy government. We need at least $50 billion. And of course, Donald Trump is out there with his COVID-19 team today. And did you see how somber he was today, finally? Remember, he was joyful yesterday. Oh, it's about time. Jay Powell, he gave me what I wanted. Zero interest rates. Investors are going to love it. Everybody's going to be happy. Oh, newsflash, Donald. Black Monday Jr. showed up today. Not so happy now, are you? Because he thought, well, my goodness, that's the magic sauce. The Federal Reserve goes to zero. Quantitative easing, just like I've been calling for. Everything's going to be fine and dandy. Well, not so much, right? Instead, what took place seemingly is what I have been warning about here is my number one concern. Number one concern for over a year is when diminishing marginal returns truly kicks in and the markets no longer believe that the central banks have credibility and that these policies have any type of juice left in them. Well, you know, you don't sell off 13% in one day. If you thought that was going to be it, if you thought that was going to continue to be the magical sauce, the fairy dust that was going to solve everything, well, my goodness. You had your rear end handed to you today because it didn't happen. 13%. Now the futures markets are, of course, up. There's a bounce back. No surprise. You have some of the biggest, sharpest comeback rallies in the midst of bear markets. We saw that 10% rally last Friday, remember? Don't be surprised if those happen again. The volatility is through the roof, as we previously stated here. But the airlines are at the trough asking for $50 billion. You know, it's really sickening. Tax cuts that benefited them. An economy that was moving people around globally, right? There's more people. More people globally have cash. They want to take vacations. They want to go all over the place. This can benefit airlines, especially if they can control their costs. But you have to understand, and we've discussed this, airlines run on tight margins. They have a lot of debt, okay? It's not the best business model, but people want to go from point A to point B. There's no trains. You're not going to take a car across the ocean. So you get on an airline, right? Tax cuts. People traveling the world, business, vacation, what have you. Deregulation, whole bunch of things going their way. They got some cash flow. What do they do with it? They save it for a rainy day? Do they invest it in productive measures? No, that would be the smart thing to do. These idiots, they wanted to do some financial engineering. They wanted to go into the market and buy back their shares. And buy back their shares they did in large quantities. Artificially increasing the price of their stock, making the C-suite, the executives, look very good. And accordingly, they're paid out handsomely. But what just took place? All of those gains have gotten completely wiped out in the matter of weeks. And now they have no cash. Now they have no cash. And country after country is on lockdown, quarantine, what have you. One travel restriction after the next. So now you have the airline suffering with no cash for a rainy day fund. Oh, but don't worry. Don't worry. We're going to go to the government and they're going to bail us out. $50 billion like it's nothing. And of course, again, Trump is there in his coronavirus conference this afternoon and was discussing or was asked a question about it. Oh, yeah, we're going to do something for the airlines. This wasn't their fault. I guess presumably meaning the virus wasn't their fault. Because I'll tell you what was their fault. The mismanagement of their cash flow, which is their responsibility, not mine. Not yours. Theirs. Let them go out of business. Let them go out of business. You know what happens when they go out of business, folks? Or otherwise, let me put it this way. Let me tell you what does not happen when they go out of business. All of those airplanes, they still exist. They don't magically disappear. All of those pilots who know how to fly those planes, they don't disappear either. Those flight attendants, they don't disappear. All the flight crews, the people on the ground, everybody, they don't disappear. They don't disappear. They'll still be there. They'll still know how to fly planes. They'll still know how to do emergency this, that, and the other. They'll still know how to serve water and peanuts. They'll still know how to do that stuff. They'll know how to lose your luggage, throw it off the cart. They'll still know how to do it, believe me. But the executives will go away. At least they better. And those assets will be purchased for pennies on the dollar. And somebody smarter who knows what they're doing can come to the helm and build a strong airline company. That's how it's supposed to work. That's free market capitalism. This isn't about panic. Oh, somebody's going bankrupt. Yeah, because they didn't know what they were doing. Or they did it intentionally. Because there's moral hazard out there. I can take any risk I want. I can do whatever I want. Makes no matter what happens. Because I'm going to get bailed out at the end of the day. And in the meantime, I'm going to get paid millions and millions of dollars. Have we learned nothing from the great financial crisis with the bailouts of the banks, which are going to be bailed out once again, ladies and gentlemen? They're already in the process of being bailed out. And we talked about this yesterday. The banks always get bailed out one way or the other, either by directly through the Federal Reserve, directly through the fiscal policy in the federal government, or through some sort of pass-through, right? Maybe the federal government bails out the energy sector, but then the energy sector has so much debt that's owed to the banks, so it's just a pass-through. Or maybe, just maybe, they'll give it to us, the consumer, and then what are we going to do with it? Give it right back because we owe the bank something, right? A car loan, student debt, mortgage, personal loan, credit cards, anything like that. Or the other corporations, we'll go out and spend it on those corporations, the products and services they offer. It's just a pass-through. Let markets do what they do best. Find fair value. We got a long way down to go, believe me when I tell you, because we're nowhere close. All we've done is knocked out a couple years of BS. Only a couple years here in the U.S. Only a couple years. This has been going on for over a decade. You think this is it? You got something else coming. Because COVID-19 is far from over. We don't even know how that's all going to play out. Right? So we got the airlines begging for $50 billion. We also have, guess who? Boeing. Boeing is now at the government teat as well, looking to get as much as they can from Uncle Sam, meaning you and me. Well, wait a minute. Didn't they have $10 billion before? Yeah, they did. But guess what they did with it? They bought their share back. They bought their shares back too. A whole bunch of buybacks. Juiced their stock price. Made the CEOs a lot of money. Boom. They're gone. They're gone. Stock price wiped. Wiped out over these past few weeks. One problem after the next because they were more concerned about financially engineering their stock price as opposed to the safety of their aircraft. That's what took place. And now they are at the government asking for money. And don't forget, Boeing is a huge part of the military-industrial complex. They are awarded billions and billions and billions of dollars on an annual basis from Uncle Sam, meaning you and me, through the Defense Department. And maybe other departments as well, but at least the Defense Department. How much more money do they need from us? How much more? They would have had $10 billion in cash, a nice rainy day fund, don't you think? Nope, it's gone. It's gone. And all of the gains in their stock are gone. They have nothing whatsoever to show for it. And we know because we've had this discussion many times, because we've been focused on Boeing here, saying that they could go under and how detrimental that would be to the economy. But so what? I don't want these yahoos doing this if they don't know what they're doing. That's life and death, putting people in those things. This is nuts. I hope you're starting to understand what I'm saying here. How much money do they want? How much do they need? Remember, we had this discussion. They had to tap the debt markets for $10 billion through corporate debt and through going out and seeking loans from banks, an additional $10 billion. Now they're further tapped out on their lines of credit. They are at nothing. They are done. Production has been halted. Hiring freezes in place. Hours are frozen. Now they're going to Uncle Sam for more assistance. What about the cruise line industry? What about the restaurant industry? Any type of entertainment, sports venues, movies, Hollywood, movie theaters? What about them? They going to need a bailout? We're in the midst of an oil price war. Huge amount of supply on the market to begin with. Demand was going off a cliff to begin with before COVID-19, before the price oil war. Now it's really going off a cliff. Guess who's next? The oil companies, who we've been talking about here for months as well. Who's going to bail them out? Just saw an article before I got on this podcast from Reuters announcing that Chesapeake Energy, those of you who follow the markets, I'm sure have heard the name Chesapeake Energy, their big player with the Shell, natural gas. They are in discussions now with a restructuring firm. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of the first steps. This is one of the first steps because Bailout Nation, we have not seen bankruptcies yet. We haven't even seen debt market downgrades. We have not even seen credit downgrades yet from the likes of Moody's, S&P 500. We have not even seen, or S&P, we have not even seen downgrades, let alone bankruptcies. So if you think this is it, as severe as it has been, we haven't seen nothing yet. Because if you think markets are that efficient in pricing in what's to come next, a wave of downgrades and a wave of bankruptcies, I got a bridge to sell you. In fact, if you're looking for rent, if you're looking to make a little extra money, you could rent out the space between your ears because you don't know what you're talking about. If you think the markets are that efficient, if the markets were that efficient, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. So one after the next. I don't know who's going to go next. I know ExxonMobil is cutting costs. They are freezing their capital expenditures, cutting a whole bunch of operational expenditures as well. I'm sure of it. This is going to be a daisy chain. We have not seen the worst of this. Saudi Arabia has already announced that they are going to continue supplying the market with excess oil, excess capacity, at least until May. It's another month and a half. We're far from over. Far from over. Billions and billions of dollars in debt that is coming due. It needs to be serviced. The layoffs that are coming are going to be unbelievable. They're going to be record-breaking, I would have to imagine. And it's painful. It's painful. But there's no solution. There is no magic wand. You have to allow markets to do what they do. You'd have to allow them to clear. You have to have assets sell for pennies on the dollar. You have to allow entrepreneurs and people who know what they're doing step up to the plate and take these companies over. It's going to have to be some type of consolidation, which we talk about at length in our book, The Cynic's Guide to Investing. In fact, when we talk about industry in part three of our book, the key word, and we lay this out before we even get started in that part of the book, part three of the book, the word we want you to know and remember, if anything else, is consolidation, because that's what it's all about. Consolidation. And boy, are we going to see it. Whether that's through merger and acquisition, or companies going out of business, or some combination thereof. But that's what we are likely to witness through 2020, 2021, and beyond, until these markets clear. And it's going to be a while. Now, the stock market might do it quickly because of the rapidity that we've seen in these sell-offs. I don't know. But economically speaking, this is going to be a multi-year long process. Okay? It's the bankruptcies, it's the restructurings, it's whatever takes place in the court system, and who knows how long that's going to take. If it comes down to a sense after COVID-19 that we need to get back to more of a de-globalized world where supply chains need to go back a little bit more to their respective home countries, wherever that may be, right? That's going to take years. You don't bring supply chains back overnight. Blink of an eye, flip of a switch. Takes time. So this is going to be a multi-year-long economic restructuring and hopefully recovery at the end of it. But you have to have the right policies in place. And I am gravely concerned with what's been taking place that we are not going to adopt the policies that are going to be proper and necessary to have a full-blown recovery on the other side of this thing, which again is going to be years down the road. Need to build a foundation from concrete, not a foundation of sand. And what we hear are the same policies, the government level, the monetary level, the world over. That is the definition of insanity. Who's waking up to this? I hope the people are. Some of the people are globally because you start to see the protests. They're at the end of their rope. They have nothing else to lose. They don't care anymore. So they might as well fight for something that's greater than themselves. Those are the only leaders in this world, because it's not in the White House. It's not in 10 Downing Street over in the UK. It's not in any type of French palace. It's not in Italy. It's not in Beijing. It's not in Tokyo. It's not in Sydney. It's nowhere to be seen except for the people in the streets. And again, given this price war with respect to oil and these protests who were already at rope's end, this is just throwing gasoline on a fire that's already out of control. Social unrest, we haven't seen anything yet. Some of this is going to turn into civil war, I imagine. Some of it might turn into a hot war between nations. Don't be surprised. I hope I'm wrong. I was hoping I was wrong on a lot of things that I have been predicting because I knew the damage that it would bring to a lot of people. But guess what? I also understand economics. I also understand history. I also understand human behavior to some degree. So the writing was on the wall. And I wasn't going to hide in a corner and pretend that if I think that it's not going to happen, well, then it's not going to happen. No, I don't play those games. You want to play those games? Turn on Fox. Turn on CNN. Turn on CNBC. Pick your poison. They'll make you believe that there's nothing wrong out there. That's not what I do here at the Capital News. I give it to you straight. You might not like it. I don't care. I might be wrong. I admit it. When I'm right, I don't gloat. I just say, this is what we've been talking about. Are you prepared? Have you been diversified? Are you remaining vigilant? It's a conversation. It's information. It's a different perspective that you're not likely going to hear in the mainstream outlets. That's why I do this podcast. Trying to help as many people as I can. I wish I had a larger audience so I could help more people. Slowly but surely, we're getting there. So get the word out. Grow this podcast. Start one your own. Talk about these things. Educate people. Because this is just the tip of the iceberg. Bailout Nation and Black Monday Jr., I told you yesterday on the Week Ahead segment, central banks panic, that this week was going to be bumpy. I had no idea it was going to be a Black Monday Jr. with a sell-off of 13, 12, 14%. No idea. But that's what we have. That's what we have. There's no end in sight because there's no leadership, there's no clarification. And because there's so much debt that is circulating in the system at the household consumer level, at the corporate level, and at the governmental level, and at the central bank level. A decade ago, great financial crisis, it was only a couple of those, really at the consumer level, and then you had your derivatives and your ancillary outlets that caused a big ruckus, right? We know that story. Now it's everywhere. Nobody's safe. So as I say, stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. Please like, share, subscribe, get the word out, leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.